Let us continue the service with singing Psalter 349, verse 1 and 2. 349, verse 1 and 2. My heart was glad to hear the welcome sound, the call to seek Jehovah's house of prayer. Our feet are standing here on holy ground within thy gates, thou city grand and fair. And what follows, 1 and 2 of Psalter 349. Let us now listen to and confess with heart and mind the 12 articles over 12 undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe one holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us now sing Psalter 275, verse 1. Let us open our Bibles to the New Testament in the fifth chapter of Gospel according to Matthew, the fifth chapter, and we will read verse 1 to 30. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 30. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the people, the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall nowise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whoever so looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and that not thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Until thus far, the scripture reading. Shall we for and with each other seek the Lord's face in prayer? O Lord, thou hast brought us again together in this evening hour, and it is thy greatness and thy goodness and thy long suffering that we are what we are and that we are not been consumed. For, O Lord, if thou were to do with us and according to us who we are, then thou would have to do so as thou said to Adam, on the day that thou eat from this fruit, thou shalt surely die. But it is that I also has said that thou hast no desire in the death of the ungodly, but that they should repent and believe the gospel and live. And Lord, it is therefore that thou hast granted that we may be together again, and may we plead with thee if thou wilt be with us, if thou wilt remember us. On our side, everything is lost. On our side, we have only sin, and we can come to thee with nothing. Yeah, we try to come to thee with all our self-righteousness, with all our piety in outward form. But, O Lord, thou knowest our inward hearts. Thou knowest the deepest corners of our hearts, and thou knowest who and what we are. But we lay it before thee, Lord, as an entire congregation. For who can put his hand in his bosom and not have it come out unclean? Lord, wilt thou then remember us in compassion, not in anything in ourselves, but see us then only in thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, that intercessor that sits on the right hand of thee, O Father, always praying, and see us then on in thee, O Lord Jesus. Lord, remember then us as a congregation in each and every one of our individual needs. Lord, thou knowest those that are sick and afflicted, those that are not feeling well, but especially, O Lord, may we bring upon thee those that are having such troubled thoughts in their mind. Lord, thou knowest most perfectly, and may we lay it before thee, those thoughts of depression, those thoughts of unbelief, those thoughts of frustration. Ah, Lord, thou knowest. Often it is things that they cannot speak with other people, and that it's a cross and a burden that many people must bear alone. Lord, may we commend them upon thee, remember them in mercy, and grant them peace that is found in thee only, O Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, but also those that in an outwardly way are sick and afflicted, remember them, make them better again. Lord, we will also remember those that are old and cannot come up with us anymore. Remember them, Lord, and grant them also a blessing where they are, and make it that they may also receive, that they may in their old days be ready to meet thee, that they may have a sure hope, that their anchor may be thrust upon thee, O Lord Jesus. For, O Lord, how true it is, how older we get, the harder we get. And, O Lord, thou knowest that often thy people, they long for being holy so as thou wast holy, and they feel only more and more their sinful hearts. Lord, wilt thou also be with the widows, the widowers, those that have no father or mother? Lord, remember them. Wilt thou take the place, and wilt thou remember them and grant them comfort? So often an empty place can be felt so sharply, Lord. Well, may we lay them before thee. Lord, wilt thou also remember our governments, those that are set in authority above us? May we lay that before thee, O Lord. Thou knowest the times that we live in and how it goes. But, ah, Lord, wilt thou grant that we may be the guilty ones, and that we may pray for those that are set in authority for us. Ah, Lord, remember us therein. But above all, Lord, wilt thou remember us according to our souls? Wilt thou, thou knowest, thou hast come also in this morning to call. Thou hast said, I have played upon the fiddle, I have played upon the harp and the flute, I have danced, but thou hast not answered. And also this morning thy word came to us in such a rich way to invite us to the feast. Lord, but thou knowest also who and what we are. We truly have no desire in thy ways. And we are murderers of our own souls. But may we lay it before thee, Lord. We plead with thee. Wilt thou remember our souls in mercy? Thou hast said, I will. I will set enmity between thee and the seed. And, O Lord, therefore we have hope in thee. Wilt thou pluck us out as firebrands out of the fire? O Lord, thou hast come to us this morning with such a rich gospel of the feast, and thou knowest the sermon tonight. O Lord, as we hope to speak, or we hope to read a sermon, what it is like to go eternally lost. Ah, Lord, wilt thou save us from that then? Grant a blessing and work mightily. Grant a revival in our congregation. Grant a revival amongst us as in our midst and in our families, in our community. We have sunk so far away. Shame fills our faces. But, O Lord, remember us. Wilt thou also remember us in reading then? Grant us the strength and grant us the love for and with each other during this service. And we ask all these things not in any worthiness of ourselves, for there is none, but that thy name may be glorified alone. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us continue this service by singing Psalter 215, 1, 4, 5, and 6. 1, 4, 5, and 6. O come, my people, to my law, attentively give ear, with willing heart and teachable, the words of wisdom hear. 1, 4, 5, and 6, and we will have the collections during the singing. Congregation, I see that I made a mistake. The next psalter we hope to sing at the end of the sermon is Psalter 47. So not 22, but 47. The text for this evening that you can find in Matthew 5, verse 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. It is very interesting to notice who they are in the Bible that speak about hell. Now, some think that speaking about hell is not preaching the gospel, and others think that simple men have no right to speak of it. Now, to them who think that it is not gospel preaching, I say it is the truth, the word of God. And to them who say it is not right to speak about it, I would have them to notice who it is that speaks most about it. And let us consider then, number one, the persons in the Bible that speak most about hell. Two, why these persons speak so plainly of hell. Three, the names given to hell. And four, the hell is spoken of in the Bible is not annihilation. So again, in the first place, the persons in the Bible that speak most about hell. Secondly, why these persons speak so plainly of hell. Thirdly, the names given to hell. Fourthly, the hell spoken of in the Bible is not an annihilation. And then to close with a short word to apply these words to ourselves. So let us consider in the first place then the persons in the Bible that speak about hell. And the first that I would mention is David. He was a man after God's own heart, yet he speaks of hell. He who wrote many of the Psalms, the sweet psalmist of Israel, he who was filled with love to men and love to God. Yet hear what he says about hell. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. And again, the sorrows of death compassed me about, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. And again, hear of his deliverance. And thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. And he tells us also of the fate of the ungodly that will not accept Christ. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. In Psalm 11, let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. Psalm 55. Now, whatever you think of the propriety of speaking about hell, David did not think it wrong, for he sang about it. And the next person I would mention is Paul. He was filled with the love of Christ, and he had a great love to sinners. Surely, that love wherewith God loved Jesus was in Paul. He loved his enemies. Notice when he stood before Agrippa, what his feelings were. For he said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. He wished them to have the same love, the same joy, the same peace, the same hope of glory. Now, Paul never mentions the word hell. It seems as if it were too awful a word for him to mention. Yet hear what he says in Romans 9. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? And in Philippians 3, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. And also in 1 Thessalonians 5, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on him that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. In 2 Thessalonians 1. Do these not show you, brethren, that they have the most love in their hearts? They speak most of hell. And the next person I would speak of is John, the beloved disciple. He had leaned on Jesus' bosom on the Last Supper and drawn love out of his bosom. His character was love. You will notice how affectionately his epistles are written. He addresses them, beloved, little children. Yet he speaks of hell. He calls it seven times over the bottomless pit, the pit where sinners shall sink through all eternity. He calls it the great winepress of the wrath of God. But John has got another name for hell, the lake of fire, according to Revelation 20. It had often been called hell, but it was left for John, the beloved disciple, to call it the lake of fire. The next person I shall mention is the Lord Jesus himself. Although he came from God, and God is love, though he came to pluck brands from the burning, yet he speaks of hell. Though his mouth was most sweet, and his lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling manna, though the Lord God had given him the tongue of the learned, that he should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary, though he spake as never man spake, yet he spoke of hell. For hear what he says: whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. But I think the most awful words that ever came from his lips were, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? And again, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. And he spake of it in some of his parables too. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so he repeats it in the words of our text three times over. And could anything be plainer than the words in Mark? He that believeth not shall be damned. Let us consider in the second place, dear brethren, why these persons speak so plainly of hell. Because it is all true. Christ is the faithful and true witness. Once he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. Once he said to Pilate, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. He himself is the truth. It is impossible for God to lie. When Jesus appeared on earth, he came with love. He came to tell sinners of hell and of a Savior to save from hell. And how could he keep it back? He saw into hell, and how could he not speak of it? Oh, he was the faithful witness. So it was with David, Paul, and John. Paul said he had kept nothing back. He had not shunned to declare all the counsel of God. Now, how could he have said that if he had not spoken of hell as he did? And so must ministers. Suppose I never were to mention hell again. Would that make it less tolerable? Oh, it is true. It is true. And we cannot, but we must mention it. And secondly, because they were full of love to sinners. They had the best friends. They are the best friends that do not flatter us. You know, beloved, Christ's bosom flowed with love. Out of love, he had not where to lay his head. And out of love, he came to die. Out of love, with tears, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And with the same breath he said, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? And so it was with Paul. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul would weep over sinners. He says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. His tears fell on parchment as he wrote, oh, if we had more love to you, we would tell you more about hell. They do not love you that do not warn you, poor, hell-deserving sinners. Oh, remember that love warns. And the third reason why they spoke so plainly of hell was that they might be free from blood guiltiness. Jesus did not want your blood laid at his door. Therefore, he spoke of the furnaces of fire and of the worm that dieth not. Ah, he says, how often would I have gathered you, but you would not. God would not have blood guiltiness laid to his charge. He says, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? And so it was with David. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. It was the fear of blood guiltiness that made David speak so plainly. And so it was with Paul. He says, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. And so it is with ministers. We must acquit our conscience. And if you go into the judgment seat unpardoned, unsaved, your blood will be upon your own head. As I was walking in the field yesterday, the thought came with me, overwhelming power into my mind, that everyone I preached to would soon stand before the judgment seat and be sent either to heaven or to hell. Therefore, brethren, I must warn you. I must tell you about hell. Now let us consider in the third place the names given to hell in the Word of God. And the first is fire. It is taken from an earthly element suited to our capacity, as Christ takes to himself a name to suit us, as a shepherd, a door, a way, a rock, an apple tree, the rose of Sharon, etc. And so when God speaks of heaven, he calls it paradise, a city which hath foundations, golden streets, pearly gates. Now one of these names will not describe it, nor any of them. For eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive the things God hath prepared for them that love him. So when God speaks of hell, he calls it a furnace of fire, a bottomless pit, perdition. Now one of these names will not do, but take them all together, and you may conceive something of what hell is. And so the first name given to hell is fire. On the southern side of Mount Sion, there is a valley covered over with vines. It is the valley of Hinnom, where Manasseh made his children pass through the fire of Moloch. Now this is the name by which Christ calls it, a valley of fire. And again, he calls it a furnace of fire. The walls will be fire. It will be fire above and fire below and fire all around about. Again, it is called a lake of fire. The idea is something like a furnace of fire. It will be enclosed with burning mountains of brass. There will be no breath of wind to pass over their face. It will be flames of fire forever and ever. It is called a devouring fire. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? And compare with this in Hebrews 12. For our God is a consuming fire. It is the nature of fire to consume. And so it is with the fire of hell. But it will never annihilate the damned. Oh, it is a fire that will never be quenched. Even the burning volcanoes will cease to burn. And that sun now sweetly shining upon us will cease to burn. And that very fire that is to burn up the elements will be quenched. But this fire is never quenched. Another name given to hell in the Word of God is prison. And so we learn that the multitudes that perished at the flood are shut up in this prison. Ah, sinner, if you are shut up in it, you will never come out till you have paid the uttermost farthing, and that you will never do. The bars are the justice and the holiness of God. Another name given to hell is the pit. Ah, it is the bottomless pit where you will sink forever and ever. It will be a continual sinking deeper and deeper every day. Ah, sinner, is it not time to begin and cry? Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let not the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth against me. Another name given to hell in the Word of God is falling into the hands of God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Can thine heart endure? Or can thine hands be strong in the day that I shall deal with thee? God will be your irreconcilable enemy. And sinner, God who takes no pleasure in the death of the sinner, but rather that he should live, that God, I say, will be your eternal enemy if you die without Christ. If you will not believe, if you will not be saved, oh, what will you do, poor sinner, when his wrath is kindled? Another name given to hell is the second death. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is the meaning of God's threatening to Adam. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Perhaps you may have stood by the bed of a dying sinner, and you may have seen how he gasps for breath. His teeth are clenched. His hands clasp the bedclothes. His breath turns fainter and fainter until it dies away. Ah, this is the first death, and this like the second death. Ah, the man would try to resist, but he finds it is in vain. He finds eternal hell has begun, and God is dealing with him, and he sinks into gloom and into utter dark despair. This is the second death sinners are to die, and yet they never die. Another name given to hell is utter darkness. Christ calls it outer darkness. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. Matthew 8. Bind him hand and feet and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. According to Matthew 22. You will see it also in 2 Peter. God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. And again in Jude, the 13th verse. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Oh, my dear friends, this is hell. The blackness of darkness, utter darkness, chains of darkness. And now, fourthly, I come to show you that the hell spoken of in God's word is not annihilation. Some people think that though they are not saved, they will be annihilated. Oh, it is a lie. And I will show you that, first of all, by the cries of the damned, And he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy upon me, for I am tormented in this flame. And again, look at the words in Matthew. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, these plainly show us that it is no annihilation. In hell, the multitudes will be bundled up together in the great harvest day. Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. There will be bundles of sweaters. There will be bundles of swearers, bundles of Sabbath breakers, bundles of drunkards, bundles of hypocrites, bundles of parents and children. They will be the witnesses of each other's damnation. Hell will be no annihilation when we consider that there will be a different degrees of suffering. It shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And it is said, the Pharisees would receive greater damnation, for every man is to be judged according to his works. It will be no annihilation if we consider the fate of Judas. Woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Judas is wishing he had never been born. I have no doubt he wishes to die, but will never be able to die. So it will be with all here who shall go to hell, all unworthy communicants. I tell you, if you die Christless, if you will wish you had never been born, you will wish you had never seen this green earth or the blue sky. You will wish you had never been. Oh, dear brethren, better never to have been a thing, better never to have been a being than to be in hell. There are many in hell today who are cursing the day they were born. It will be no annihilation, for it is an eternal hell. Some weak and foolish men think and please their fancy with the thought that hell will burn out, and that they will come to some place where they may bathe their weary soul. You try to make an agreement with hell. But if there ever come a time when the flame that torments your body and soul shall burn out, then Jesus will be a liar. For three times he repeats these words in our text and says it shall never be quenched. It is eternal, for it is spoken of in words never used, but to denote eternity. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. So you see then it is forever and ever. And again at another place. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelations 20. And compare this also with Revelations 4. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And so you see the torments of the damned are spoken of with the eternity of God. If there ever come a time when God ceases to live, then they may cease to suffer. And again, the eternity of hell and the eternity of heaven are spoken of in the very same language. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The same words that are used for the eternity of the saints are also used for the eternity of the damned. They shall be tormented forever and ever. O sinner, if there ever was a time when the saints shall fall from their thrones, or the immortal crowns fall from their heads, then you may think to leave hell. But oh, that will never, never be. It is eternal hell forever and ever. Eternity will be never-ending wrath, always wrath to come. Oh, that you were wise, that you understood this, that you will consider your later end. And now let us close with a short word and apply this to ourselves. In the first place, to you that are believers, dear brothers and sisters, all this hell that I have described is what you and I deserved. For we were over the lake of fire, but it was from this that Jesus saved us. He was in the prison for you and I. He drank every drop out of the cup of God's wrath for you and I. He died the just for the unjust. Oh, beloved, how should we prize, love, and adore Jesus for what he hath done for us? Oh, we will never, never know till we are safe across the Jordan how our hell has been suffered for us, how our iniquity has been pardoned. But, oh, beloved, think of hell. For have you no unconverted and unconcerned friends or family who are treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath? Oh, have you no prayerless parent or sister nor brother? Oh, have you no compassion for them, no mercy to warn them? And secondly, to those that are seeking Christ anxiously, and I think some of you are, dear soul, what a mercy in God to awaken you to flee from this fiery furnace. Oh, what a mercy to be awakened to flee, to be in earnest. Ah, your friends will tell you there is no need of being so anxious. No, there is no need to flee from the wrath to come. But learn, dear soul, how precious Christ is. Oh, he is a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. All these things in the world are like a speck of dust. All is lost for Jesus. He is all in all. He is free to you, beloved. Oh, rest not until you can say, he is mine. And lastly, to you that are unconverted and unconcerned, you are fools, and you think you are wise. But, oh, I beseech you, search the scriptures. Do not take my word about it. It is the testimony of God when he spoke about it. Oh, if it be true, if there be a furnace of fire, if there is a second death, and if it is not annihilation but an eternal hell, oh, it is reasonable. Oh, is it reasonable to go on living in sin? You think you are wise. You think you are no fanatic, that you are no hypocrite. But soon you will gnash your teeth in pain. It will come, and the bitterest thought will be that you heard about hell and yet rejected Christ. Oh, then turn ye, why will ye die? Amen. Let us now sing Psalter 47, verse 1, 8, 9, and 10. So that's Psalter 47, 8, 9, and 10. Thank you. Shall we close with prayer? O Lord, we thank thee that thy word has come again to us. And O Lord, thou knowest it is a solemn word. But yet we thank thee that thou hast also granted that we may be warned, that we may see what it is to die without thee, O Lord Jesus. But O Lord, thou knowest each and every one of us deserves this. Each and every one of us deserves to die the eternal death, for that's what thou justice requires of us. What eternal wonder that thee, O Lord Jesus, has come to pay the price. Thee, O Lord Jesus, thou hast gone into hell and had to die and shed thy blood. We sang about it, O dear Jesus. Thy love was so great that thou hast cried, that thou hast said, yet that thou hast died when we were yet enemies, when we were yet deserving hell. O dear Jesus, and thou comest to us, for thou hast truly no desire in our death. But thy compassion has made thee cry out, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, why will ye die? Why will ye? And then we plead with thee. Wilt thou remember us as a whole congregation? In maybe 50 or 100 years, not one of us will be alive. And yet, where will we be? Where will we be then? And yet thou comest to us and thou callest us. And on the one hand, thou callest us with the love of thee, O Lord Jesus. For thou art altogether lovely, but thou also calls us and warns us what it will be if we reject so great a salvation. Lord, remember us then in mercy, we plead with thee. And remember us also in the coming week. Be with us in our labors, in our school, wherever we are. Be with our pastor and bring him back safely this week, that he may take up his labors again in our congregation. Be with all of those that are traveling to and fro. Lord, thou knowest who they are and where they are. Keep them safe, Lord. Keep us all safe from a death that is unprepared. Oh, Lord, be with us. Lead us take us by the hand and lead us. Grant us what we stand in need of, so we ask. Not in any worthiness of ourselves, oh no, but that thy kingdom may come, that thy name may be glorified, as we read, that we may be a light unto the world. And in thy name we pray, O Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us now close with singing Psalter 29, verse 1 and 3. Psalter 29, verse 1 and 3. To thee, O Lord, I fly, and what follows in 29, 1 and 3. This was a sermon of Robert Murray McChen. Let us now close with the prayer for blessing. May the grace of Christ the Savior and the Father's boundless love, with the Holy Spirit's favor, rest upon us from above. Amen.